Good morning. Well, the computer's telling me that I'm late, so it will be good to start. Welcome. It's really good to see you all. It's a great privilege for us to be able to join together and worship. Let's start today. Well, actually, let's start today by remembering back to last Sunday. It struck me this morning, last Sunday was Remembrance Sunday. We remembered the sacrifice of so many for us. Yet a lot of those guys sacrificed not knowing who they were sacrificing for. And that contrasted with Jesus. And I was just struck by one of the things that one of Jesus' followers was able to say. And he said, "The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me." And that just made me think how valued each of us are. If we know him, that the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. So let's respond and worship the God of the ages, the one who has been forever and will be forever. So when the music starts, let's stand and sing. Three things that I would like to remind you of. The first is this evening after the service, for those who'd like to, we're having a time of praise and learning some new songs. So if you can, I'm sure it'll be great. We've enjoyed it before. For some of you, on Tuesday evening, there's an opportunity to find out a bit about baptism. So if you're interested in finding out a bit about baptism, have a word with John and he'll be happy to fill you in and would love to see you. And then the third thing is after the service on Thursday, we've got a report back as a church on a testimony. So it will be good to have as many of us there to enjoy that together. So there's the announcement. Let's spend some time praying. Our Father, we ask that you'll help us to pray now. We're glad that we can come to you as individuals. And that you have told us to cast our cares on you. Because you care for us. And you know us, each as individuals. You know how different we are. You know what this week has been like. You know what next week will be like. And you tell us, you know the number of hairs that are on our heads. And that you care about us. And we pray that you'll help us to grasp how great you are. And how much you care about us. And we pray that you will help us to respond to you in a right way. We know that we don't deserve to come into your presence. We don't deserve that the King of the universe, the Mighty One, will speak to us. And so we're so glad that you do. And we pray that you'll help us to hear your voice. We pray that you'll help us not to let anything distract us from hearing what you have to say to us. And we pray that you'll help us to respond to you in a good way. Our Lord, we thank you for this great opportunity. Be with us, we ask. Amen. We're going to read from God's word, from the passage that John is going to be teaching us from. It's the letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and we've got through to chapter 4, moving a little bit beyond where we were last time. So I'm starting reading at verse 1 in Ephesians chapter 4. So Paul says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying ascended, what does it mean? But that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may be no longer children, tossed to and fro by the waves, and carried around by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it's equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Well, we're looking forward to John preaching from that later. But we're going to sing. And then after that, Mark's got the children's talk. It's good to remember that the whole world belongs to God. And we see that in our next song. So let's stand and sing when the music starts.
Thank you. Good morning, good morning. Well, it is lovely to see especially you children up the front. And hopefully this will be helpful for everyone else as well. But I've got a little bit of a warm-up for you this morning, children. And we're going to be thinking about what links these things together. Okay, so I'm going to show you some pictures. And I want you to think about what do you think links them together. We'll see how you get on. Okay, so... turn it on, that will help. So... okay, we've got croissants. Oh, yummy. Okay, what else have we got? Got that funny building. What else? Lots of people doing a big cycle race. Have any of you got any ideas what it might be yet? Yeah. Paris. Close. It's kind of a bit bigger than Paris, I'm thinking. What's Paris in? Yeah. France. Here you go, would that have given it away? Well, that might have made you say Paris again. But, yeah, France, all those things make us think of France. That's the Tour de France, and croissants, and the Arc de Triomphe, and the Eiffel Tower. Excellent. Now, I've got some other things. That warmed us up to get us thinking. Okay, but what about these things? I've got a few different things. What should we go with? But let's go with this one first. Okay, so I've got this. Harvey, can you pull that? Oh, look at that. It's bright, isn't it? God, it's hard to look at. There you go. So we've got a lamp. Now, what's this? This might be a bit shocking. You ready? What is it? A mirror. Yeah, it's a mirror. So we've got a mirror and a lamp. Let me put that there so it reminds you. Hopefully it won't be distracting you looking at yourselves. What else have we got? I'm going to do this one. This one I'm a bit more nervous about. So do this one. Get it out of the way. Right. Okay. Okay, what's this? Candle, yeah. And what's this bit of it? Yeah, fire. Lovely. I'm going to put it in some water to make sure it's safe. Fire. You might have to remember that one. What else? Oh, water. We've got some water. So, what else? Let's have a look. Quite a few things, actually. We've got a hammer. It's a very little hammer. But it's a hammer, and it's a bit rusty as well. It's not very nice, but it's a hammer. So let's put that there. Now, this was the best I could get of this one. Got a sword. Unfortunately, it's a pirate sword, but just imagine a normal sword, okay? So we've got a sword. Now, some of you saw this beforehand. Some of you were looking, weren't you? You were looking, weren't you? And you wanted this, and I'm not surprised. And... now, I'm not rich enough to have the full thing, okay, but I've got, what's this? Money, yeah. Or, I want you to use your imagination. Imagine this is treasure. Treasure. I can't afford my own treasure, so this was the best I could think. Look at that treasure. And some of you were like, oh, can I have some of that? Because it's nice, isn't it? Treasure. Okay, so there's some treasure. Okay, this. What do you think this is? Milk, yeah, is that what you were going to say? Milk, yes, yeah, so we've got some milk. We're nearly there. What about this? Yeah. Meat, yeah, or a steak. For those vegetarians, this represents solid food. Okay, right. Okay, this. That is a biblical term, by the way. honey, we've got some honey. Goodness me, look at all this. And last one. Seeds. Yeah, loads of seeds. Excellent. So, look at all those things. A mirror, a sword, a hammer, seeds, treasure, honey, water, milk, a lamp or light, meat, fire. Has anyone got any ideas? What links all those things together? What's the big thing? Yeah, what do you think? The light of the world, yeah, doesn't it? Yeah, so the light reminds us that God is the light of the world. Excellent. And we were thinking about that recently, weren't we? Yeah, any other thoughts? What else might link it? Yeah. Right, okay. So the milk and the honey remind them of promised land. Yeah, absolutely. Because it was so good. They wanted to go to the promised land because it was had like milk and honey, and that was amazing. That was a good thing. Yeah. Has anyone else got any ideas what it might remind people of? The Bible, how did you get that? Well done. Excellent. Yeah, all these things, you know, are a picture of what the Bible's like. If you read the Bible, you'll see that the Bible's like all these different things. So should we quickly have a think, just very quickly, about how the Bible is like all these different things? Should we do that quickly? So, let's have a look. So, in fact, there you go. It's like all these different things. So the Bible is a bit like a lamp. It shows us what's good. It shows us what God is like. It shows us how to live our lives so we can see how to live our lives and how to please God and what is good. So the Bible is a bit like a lamp. What else? Let's have a look. The Bible's like a hammer. That's a bit strange. Well, a hammer, well, you can hammer in nails, can't you? That's what we often use it for. But a hammer can also break things. I could break a rock with this. And, you know, a hammer, it helps us break some of the lies that maybe society tells us that are not true. And it also, you know, sometimes the Bible can describe us as being very proud. And we need to be broken by God's word. As we read this, it sort of breaks us down and it reminds us that God is the one who's in charge and we should follow him, not follow us. So the hammer helps us with that. What else have we got? We've got the sword. I don't think it should be a pirate sword, really. But a sword helps us. It helps us fight lies. And it also, it shows us what we're like. It convicts us. It convicts us to the heart. And it helps us know about our guilt of sin. And it helps us to live for Jesus. So that's a sword. A mirror. What does a mirror do? Yeah. Reflect yourself. Is that what you were going to say? Yeah, it reflects yourself. It shows you what you're like, doesn't it? And that's what the Bible does. As we open the Bible, it tells us what we're really like. Not just what we think we're like, but it tells us what we're like. Seeds. What do you do with seeds? Plant. Yeah, you plant them. So you put them in the ground and they grow. And when we read the Bible, it's like bits of it grow in us. And it grows and becomes faith in God. And we get to know all about God because of the life in us. Water. What does water do? What are different things water does? We can drink it. Yeah, it keeps us alive, doesn't it, when we're thirsty. Yeah, anything else? Yeah. Water plants with it. You can give, yeah, so like the rain. And it helps things grow. And also, maybe some of you have done this morning. Maybe some of you haven't. It can wash us, can't it? And the Bible talks about it being like water. As we read the Bible, as we find out about Jesus and experience Jesus, it's like we're being washed. Okay, we're nearly there. We're getting there. Milk. Milk. Why do you give babies milk? What does it help them do? Yeah. It feeds them. It helps them grow, doesn't it? But imagine if we just drank milk as adults all the time. Would that be good? Not all the time. No, we need some meat or some solid food. So when we grow up as Christians, we need some meat. And the Bible is a bit like meat. There are some really big things in the Bible that when we grow as Christians, we can try and understand. So it's like meat. The Bible helps us to grow. And then I think we're nearly there. Right. Two more. The Bible is a bit like honey. It's sweet. It's good for us. Do you enjoy sweets? Yeah, of course. The Bible is a bit like honey. It's nice. It's good for us. And one person in the Bible, well, at least one actually, more than that, say, the Bible is like treasure. It's valuable. It's something exciting. So maybe you think, oh, that's exciting. Well, this is what the Bible says about itself, that it's exciting. And then there's just one more I've realized I've missed, I think, which is fire. And if you've got metal and the metal's all dirty inside, what they do is they put it in a really hot fire. And what it does is it refines it and it makes it pure metal and it makes it more valuable. And this is what the Bible does. When we read the Bible, it's like it helps get rid of all the dirt in our lives as God works in us and it makes us more like Jesus. So those are just a few reasons, or a good number of reasons, why we love reading the Bible. And so I want to encourage you to read it because this is such a good book. Okay. Thank you. You can go back to your seats. Thank you. Just want to say just a very quick word about the Christmas Cracker event, which we've got on the 29th of November from 4 till 6:30. So it's uptown. You may know Crowbury has like a Christmas Cracker event where they have different market stalls and things. And this year we've got a stall. I've mentioned it before, and I just wanted to update you on our plans, partly so you know what's going on, but also partly so you can pray for us, because we really appreciate and need your prayer. So we've got a couple of bits for the kids up there, so we're going to do some basic face painting. We've got some sort of Christmassy stencils and things, so put some simple face paints on the kids, Christmassy themed, which hopefully they'll really enjoy. We've also got some tree decorations as well, Christmas tree decorations, and I think they look really good. They're going to be these stars, and it's going to have John 3:16 on the back. And from the little bits I've seen, they look really good. And hopefully people put them on their trees, and it will just be a reminder of John 3:16 and God's love for the world and why he sent Jesus. But it also gives us an opportunity to chat to the parents as they mingle around. And one of the things we've been wanting to do is, what do we do as a church? So we've got some things about what we do as a church that we want to give out. But also we want to get them thinking about Christmas. And Jesus said, if you remember, he says, "I've come to give you life and give it to the full." And there's a lot of people in our world who want to live life to the full. And Jesus says, "I can give you life to the full." And so we're going to have a big poster with that verse on it. And we want to engage people and get people thinking about what does it mean to them to live life to the full? What might stop us living life to the full? What do you think about Jesus saying that? So hopefully we'll be able to have some good conversations. Do pray for us as we do that. There's a good number who are up for doing it. Pray for the different people involved. But we also wanted to do sort of answer that in a service as well. So that Sunday evening, I'm down to speak. And what we want to do is spend time in the evening service looking at that question. What does Jesus mean when he says, "I came to give life and give it to the full"? So we're going to be inviting people along as well on the Sunday evening if they want to find out more about this claim of Jesus. Now, I don't know how many people we'll get. We may not get many at all. We may not get anyone. But pray that we would. Be amazing if people come along to find out more, that people put it on their hearts. But we also wanted to have it as an opportunity for you to invite friends along. So we want to do it as a service, specifically for people coming along as we think about this claim of Jesus and how Jesus can not only give life, but give it to the full. So that's 2 weeks time in the evening. So we are going to be inviting people from the town, but also just an opportunity, we'll try and say something again next week, just an opportunity to bring people along, bring a friend along. If you've got someone that might be interested, if you've got someone that's trying to live life to the full, but it's just not working out for them, or anything along those lines, just want to encourage you, bring them along to that evening service, and we'll share what Jesus means. And I think that's pretty exciting. So do pray for us in all of that. If you have any more questions about it, do come in and speak to me. But yeah, thank you very much. Thanks.
Thanks, Mark. Let's join and pray again. Our Father, we thank you that we come to you. And we thank you that you sent your Son. We thank you that you sent Jesus so that we might have life and might have it to the full. Oh Lord, in this world that we live in, we know that we're often tempted to go chasing after things that don't make us really happy. And there's lots going on that isn't right and isn't good, and it grieves us and it makes us sad. But we know that one day you will come and you will take control, that everyone will bow before you, that every knee will know that the King is in place, your kingdom has come. And that will be a time where all evil is banished. And everyone is focused on what is right and good. Oh, we long for that day. We pray that you will come. And we pray too that you will rule in our lives and in the lives of many people that we know and love more and more. Oh Lord, it makes us sad when we see so much pain, so much suffering. Oh Lord, we pray for those who are suffering in wars at the moment. Oh Lord, we ask that there will be peace in Lebanon, peace in Gaza. We pray for those who are suffering. We pray for those who are scared. And we especially pray for those who are your children, those who know and love you, those who are alone with you. Oh Lord, you know that whether they're Israeli or Palestinian, they are despised by their own people because they don't follow the religion of the majority. Yet they know you. And we pray that they will know your help. And we know that there are so many needs in this world. And Lord, we pray for James and Rachel in Cyprus. We pray that you'll help them in their leadership of the church there. We pray that you'll help them with the challenges and the disappointments that they face. We pray for Rosie too in Papua New Guinea. We ask that you'll be with her. We pray that you'll help her to build good and loving and strong relationships with the believers there as she's moved into a new part of the country. And we pray for ourselves. Oh Lord, you know us. You know how we're feeling. You know what we've faced this week. We pray that you'll give us what we need. We pray you'll help us to know you and trust you, knowing that you're good and that you're in control, and that nothing can happen to us apart from you knowing about it. And whilst they're hard for us, you do promise to work out everything for the very best for those who love you. So whether it's exams or work worries or family worries or health worries, oh Lord, we ask you'll help us to bring them to you, knowing that you care for us. And we pray as well, Father, that you will help us to come to you honestly. Oh Lord, you know us and you see us. You know every detail. And you know that we like to pretend that we have done the things that we haven't done and that we haven't done things that offend you. And Lord, you know that that repels you. Oh Lord, we pray that you'll help us to be honest with you and honest with ourselves and come to you, Father, asking your forgiveness for our failures. Oh Lord, you know. And we want to be close to you. And we pray that you'll forgive us because Jesus paid the price for our sin. That he loved us enough to pay the penalty on the cross. So we ask that you'll help us to confess our sins to you. The times we've been selfish. The times that we've been angry without cause. The times that we've been dishonest. Oh Lord, you know what we've fallen for this week. Forgive us, we pray. And keep us from temptation. Oh Lord, we thank you that you're so worthy of our praise. We ask that our hearts will be full of joy at you. And we pray that our time of praise this evening will be a time that pleases you and encourages us. Oh, we thank you that this week people here have been able to share the good news about you. We thank you for the number of guys who came to the men's event. We thank you that we were challenged to look at the evidence about a risen Jesus. Oh Lord, I pray that people will take that away. that they will think about what they heard, and that they will come and see that God really did come, that God really did prove it by rising from the dead. And Lord, we pray that they will turn from following their own ideas to following you. And we know that the children and the young people have heard your word this morning. And we pray, Lord, that that will go home. And that there will be a conviction in their hearts that, yes, this is true. But Lord, we ask that for all of us, we won't just be people who believe something on a piece of paper. But we understand. We know our God. We know what you're like. And we don't just believe it and ignore you. But we believe and follow. And we thank you that we have the privilege of you speaking to us through your word. We pray that as John opens it up to us and as he explains it to us, you'll help us to hear what you're saying to us in our situation. So that we can know more of being close to you. We can know more of the privilege of being your child. And enjoy you more and more, and bring more and more pleasure and more use to you. Oh Lord, we need you so much. Do help us, we pray. Amen. And in our next song, we continuing in prayer that God will shine on us as we come to him in his word. So let's stand and sing when the music starts.
Now, a good few of you will know that my mum's name was Wendy. Most of you won't know that she had a twin, and that her twin's name was Peter. So, Peter and Wendy. Any idea why they were named by my gran, Peter and Wendy? Peter Pan. Peter Pan. Peter Pan, Peter and Wendy, the subject of many films, pantomimes, Disney one last year, I think. There was also another set of twins. They were called Jack and Jill. So One wonders if they'd had any more twins, quite what we would have ended up with. Maybe I would have had an Uncle Hansel, an Auntie Gretel or something. But one thing about Peter Pan is that he never grows up. He always stays a child. Adventurous, naive, self-centred, excitable. He always stays a child. Now, I don't know if you'd like to be like that. Maybe it has some appeal, the idea of no responsibilities, everything seeming fun. But I guess those who are looking on would be worried. I guess parents would be worried at somebody who never matures, never grows up. And it's a bad thing if Christians are like Peter Pan. If they never grow up, if they stay young, self-centred, immature, unstable. And as we carry on in this great letter to the Ephesians, we find out that Paul is keen for Christians to grow, to mature, to be built up in their life and faith. That's true for us as individual Christians, that we should grow and mature. And it's true for us as churches, hence the title this morning, Grown Up Christians. If you've got the passage open, Ephesians 4, 7-16, that'll be a help. And if you have, cast your eye down the passage and you'll see some words that relate to this theme. In verse 12, you get building up. In verse 13, you get mature manhood. In verse 13, you get stature. In verse 14, you've got no longer children. Verse 15, you get grow up. Verse 16, you get body growing. And you get it building itself up. You see a lot of language of growth and maturity. And if you're a Christian, is that what you want for yourself as a Christian? To grow, to be built up, to mature. Are you happy to be a Peter Pan Christian? Is that what you're wanting? What we're wanting for the church here at Forest Fold? To be growing, to be mature, to be settled, to be built up. Or do we want it to be a Peter Pan church? Always in childhood. 2 weeks ago, we started to look at chapter 4 in this great letter. And we started on the theme of unity. It was called Ephesians United. And it's something that I've been thinking through for myself, praying for myself. Perhaps you have too. In fact, Friday, I found myself praying through verses 2 and 3 for quite a while. I felt that's what I needed, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And Paul doesn't forget the theme of unity as he goes forward in this chapter, but it gets a bit broader as well. So as well as unity, there is a concern for growth and for development and for maturity. It's pictured really as a body as well. A healthy body, a growing body, a useful body, a functioning body. That's the picture. I really love these verses. I'd like to spend longer in them actually than we're going to be able to this morning. They're really helpful and healthy verses for us. But we're going to look at what it says in three main parts this morning. And the first is this: Christ's gifts enabling growth. Christ's gifts enabling growth. So I want to begin with Jesus. There's a lot about Christ in this passage. Maybe you're not sure if you're a Christian yet. Perhaps a lot of this is new to you. I just want to say that the Bible makes a lot of Jesus. We as a church try to make a lot of Jesus. Jesus is worth making a lot of. He's central to the life of anyone and central to the life of a church. And he's referred to throughout this passage. If you look at it closely, you'll see he is the head of the church. He is the Son of God. There is a fullness about him. I heard a good story this week. I don't know if you like jigsaw puzzles. Maybe you like jigsaw puzzles. I don't like jigsaw puzzles personally, but I know quite a few people who do like jigsaw puzzles. Well, there were two boys doing a puzzle, and they were taking a long time and struggling. You see, they were trying to do it blind, so they had the cover of the box face down on the carpet, and they were trying to put together the pieces themselves. And they were getting into a real mess. They weren't really making much progress. It was all over the place what they were trying to do. And so they decided to turn over the cover so that they could see the box. And it's a medieval court scene. And one of the boys shouts out, "Oh, I see, the king is in the middle. That makes sense." King Cluster was moved into middle, and suddenly everything started to fit together and the puzzle was well on its way. Well, that's true of our lives, you know. It's true of our lives. If we don't realise that Jesus Christ, the King, is central, things will be a mess. Things won't fall into place. Things won't be as they should be. Perhaps it's a bit like that for you. You feel life at the moment is a mess. You're not really sure how it all hangs together. And I think you'll find it very different if you place Jesus in the middle. If Jesus is at the centre of things and he's your king and things revolve around him. And it's the same for us as a church and for any church to keep Christ central in the middle. And Christ in these verses is talked about in these early verses as ascending. Ascending. What's this about ascending? Ascending is going up. It's talking about Christ going up in these first few verses. It's talking about Jesus who descended down to earth, down to the cross, down to the grave. Then being resurrected in victory and ascended to go back alongside his Father in glory to the highest place. So we have a very high view of Jesus in a place of great honour. And it picks up a verse from the songbook of the Bible, from the Psalms, from Psalm 68, which depicts a glorious king returning after victory. And when they returned after victory, one of the things that they would do is share the spoil, so they would give out gifts. So it was like Christmas time, people were getting presents because the king had won a victory. He passes on gifts to the people. It's a time of celebration, a time of presents. And it pictures Jesus as the ascended king, resurrected, now returned to glory, giving gifts to his church. Gifts that can help them serve others and help the church grow. So, Christians, if under the Christmas tree of the ascension, if we can put Christmas in your mind. Well, Mark's already put Christmas trees in your mind. So under the Christmas tree, if you like, of the ascension, there are gifts. And those gifts are for you too. Verses 7 and 8. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. Men and women. And they are varied. What are some of the gifts that God has given to Christians to be useful? Well, you can list them in your mind. there's hospitality and there's technology and there's administration and there's organising and there's being good with kids and there's visiting older people and there's looking after the grounds and there's people caring for buildings and there's music and there's teaching and there's getting alongside others and there's listening and there's befriending and there's welcoming, and you can add many other things as well. Gifts given by Christ to his church. Well, you say, well, that's just the way I was born. That's the way I've been trained to do things that way. Well, some of these gifts, many of these gifts given by Christ are given to us naturally or through our experiences. But as we become a Christian, it's as if they're switched on and used for his purpose. Gifts given to you. But in some ways not mainly for you. Christmas, you get gifts and they're given to you, and a lot of them are for you to enjoy, sometimes solely for you to enjoy, and that's nice, we enjoy that at this time, at that time of year. But some of them are for you to use for others. I don't know, maybe you get a box of chocolates and you don't have them all yourself, you share them. I don't know, maybe you get some sort of games console or film set and you look forward to watching it with others as an enjoyable time. Perhaps you get a meal out for two. Well, that's obviously for more than just you. Perhaps you get a dinner set and it's going to help on the hospitality front. Some gifts are useful for others. And these gifts given by Christ to his church are for us to use for others. Some seem to have many gifts, don't they? You look under the Christmas tree and sometimes people have got their names on a lot of presents. And when Christ gives gifts to the church, so some people seem to have a lot of gifts. And you look at people and think, oh, they're so gifted in so many ways. But Jesus teaches that all his people, all Christians, all in the church, do have a gift. There is a gift, at least one, for you, given by the risen Jesus. So what gifts have you been given? You enjoyed using them for others? Could you start to? So Christ, we want to think of Christ in this passage, sended Christ, Christ's gifts, and they enable growth in the church. They're given so that the church does grow up and does mature and is healthy. That's what he's done. But we can go a bit further. And we go, secondly, in the passage to leaders' work, equipping for growth. We're in verses 11 and 12 here. In verse 11, he spells out some specific gifts and says what they are for. So what gifts is he pointing out? Verse 11. And he gave, so amongst this, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers. Four roles pointed out, and they're all sort of leadership roles. There are the apostles and prophets. Well, they seem to be foundational to the church, according to a couple of chapters earlier, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. They had a special role in God's design for the early stage of the church, in conveying the word, in establishing the word. And then there are the evangelists. All Christians share good news. I hope if you're a Christian, you delight, pray for opportunities to share good news. But some have a special calling, gift, ability to share the good news. And they're particularly good at speaking to non-Christians, and they perhaps speak at certain events. Maybe they write books, maybe they train others, and they are evangelists. Perhaps they're full-time in that work, some of them. And then there is the fourth group, which is a double-barrel group, really. They're the pastor teachers, the shepherd teachers. They lead, feed, care. Especially the elders of the church and those who contribute in similar ways. Some give themselves fully to it. They're paid to do the role, supported by the local church. And all of these leadership roles, they involve God's word, serving God's word being central to the life of the church, and using God's words and teaching God's words and leading things in line with God's word so that it helps others. Now, what are these leaders then for? That's some of the gifts, but what are they for? Should they do all the work? Some of them are paid, after all. Are they given these gifts that they feel good and smug and have a sense of entitlement and status about them? No, their focus is on helping the church, serving the church, equipping the church. We carry on into verse 12. These gifts are given to equip the saints. That's all Christians, not just an exceptional group. That's all Christians. To equip the saints, the Christians, for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So they equip them with the word so that they can serve well and serve better and live for Christ in their lives. So they can be a help to others. So that the church grows, matures, gets established, is useful, is healthy. Well, I don't find that an easy role. I don't find that an easy role. And I don't suppose others find that an easy role. So do pray for those who are leaders. Sometimes it feels a bigger responsibility than we can cope with to do well. And we need the support of your prayers and wisdom and help and strength from God. According to this, our responsibility is to teach from God's word in a way that mobilizes, encourages, equips, helps everyone to serve. Does this happen? Does what leaders do and say and organise at Forest Fold help you and equip you? Well, I hope it does. In fact, I'm fairly sure. I know some of it does. The service activities, the things that are done. They help us all to serve. They help me to serve. I expect they help you to serve. But could what we do help you better? Well, I'm pretty sure it could. And we'd be interested in your feedback, your help, so that you help us to help you as you serve, equip and live for the Lord. And I'll come on to that a bit later on. So, we want the leaders to teach and arrange things that help us to worship, help us to serve, help us in our lives. And that's not just a short thing. So it's not just a short-term thing. It will include, I hope, well, I had a good Sunday or I had a good service and it was a real help to me. But it will also include the long-term of us feeling built up and equipped and mature and growing in knowledge so that we're not like children. We're not tossed around by every new fad and new teaching and new philosophy, but we're stabilized in the word to be good servants of Christ through life. It's a long-term thing as well. So that's the second part. And it leads nicely onto the third part, which is everyone serving, encouraging growth. Everyone serving, encouraging growth. That includes verse 12 again and takes us to the end of our passage. So Christ's work, wonderful, central, gives gifts. Leaders do have a role, facilitating, equipping role. But so much is done by the united work of the members, by all of us. What are we doing as members? Well, according to this passage, verse 12, we're We're being equipped for works of ministry. Oh, you say ministry, that's for the minister. Ah, not here it isn't. All of us involved in ministry and service. What are we all involved with? Building up the body. Everyone's has a part to play. Verse 13. What are we doing? We're speaking to one another. It's not just the person at the front who's doing the speaking. We're speaking to one another. We're speaking the truth to one another, the gospel. We're reminding each other of what Jesus has done. And what attitude are we doing it with? We're speaking to one another truth in love. Verse 15. What are we all doing? We're all growing in Christ ourselves. What else are we all doing? We're working properly together. Verse 16. You see, the church is not a spectator sport. We're on the pitch, not in the stands. We are to use the gifts that God has given us out of love. And sometimes that's in appointed roles. We get asked and we're on a list of somebody who's doing something or on a road. And sometimes it's just informally we're able to help out. But we look to serve. How does this work out? Well, take Kirsty. She's now a Christian. Life is very full for her. She feels limited, actually, in her gifts. But she does like to ask people round for a coffee. And her and her husband do like to have people round for dinner, especially those who are facing difficulties in life or a little bit on their own. And she looks to serve. Or there's Lloyd. Lloyd has some musical talent. He's learnt some instruments through his early years and kept it up a bit. He knows he's not Mozart, but he is a follower of Jesus. And now he wants to help others worship God. And he's thinking maybe he can use some of those things that God has given him to help others worship and praise God. That would delight him. Or perhaps Megan. Megan says, I know Jesus for myself now. He's my saviour. And I've started to understand more and more of the Bible as I've had it read and read it for myself and had it explained. And you know, I've got a heart for the youngsters. And I'd love to help out with one of the youth groups to influence children more. Thinks Megan. Or there's Norman. And Norman says, I love my home group. I can't always get there now I'm older, but I pray for them all regularly. And I send them encouraging messages. And I love it when I can go to the group and I can say just a few words which are a help to the others that are there in the sitting room. Or there's Poppy. Poppy thinks life is really busy. She says, I've got kids and I work part time. But the slot I have in the toddler group to get alongside young mums is just my niche. And I really pour myself into that. Or there's Owen. Owen thinks I'm not great at talking to others. I'm a bit shy, really. Not the right words don't come out. But I love tech. And maybe if they needed extra help one day, I might be able to chip in. I would love to help the worship services run smoothly and be a real blessing to those that go. And you could add more. And you could add yourself, can't you? And you can think of the ways in which you delight to serve the Lord and others. And the way he's put it on your heart to contribute. And I know so many of you do in so many ways. Or maybe there become new ways that it's right where you could begin. Or in a different way, serve the Lord as others who have been too full. Or perhaps the years have gone by need to be relieved of some of their roles. Christians involved, serving, working, building up, speaking. So you get the wonderful picture here of verse 16. From the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it's equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Well, all these thoughts about leaders helping and equipping and all of us growing together, all of us serving, it set us thinking this week as elders, and we thought it might be helpful to have a questionnaire, something that would help us to help you. We have had some questionnaires in the past, and we thought it would be good to do one as we think of the new year and what's happening in the life of the church as we go forward. So we're going to ask you what helps you at Forest Bowl, what helps you currently in worship, in serving, in living your everyday life for Christ. And we're going to also ask you what developments might help you in worship, in service, and in living everyday life for Christ. So more on that in coming days, but it's in line with what we've been looking at in our passage this morning, looking to grow as a church and looking to help and encourage and facilitate others serving and living in the life of the church. So we've got a wonderful picture here. A grown-up, stable church, mature, serving, united, not a Peter Pan church, but a mature church and a maturing church. And we pray for God to help us as we go forward as a church together. I was talking to Rosie this week. She's the missionary we have contact with in Papua New Guinea. It's rather funny to have just a phone in front of you and to have a free conversation, amazing isn't it, on WhatsApp with somebody who's 9,000 miles away there in Port Moresby. And I speak to her every few weeks, every 6 or 7 weeks to just take interest and encourage her. And I was asking about her situation, and she'd been taking some devotions for a group of people leading their thoughts in God's Word. So talked about it, found out what it was about, what she'd been passing on and sharing to them, and it was Ephesians 4:1-16. She was so keen to encourage the unity of the church out there in Papua New Guinea. It's a great passage to encourage unity and growth back here, 9,000 miles away from her here in Crowborough. And as we talked, she told me of the translation, in the New Living Translation, of the last verse, verse 16. And I thought it was good. The New Living Translation, a little bit looser as a translation, but it catches this really nicely. And I thought it would be good to end with how it ends the passage. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. What a picture, eh? Shall I read it again? What a picture. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Grown up Christians. Well, we're going to sing our last song from which sung before. It flows on really well from the things we've been looking at this morning. It's the song, We All Are One in Mission. We all are one in call. Our various gifts united by Christ, the Lord of all.
Thank you.
thank you for the body of the church, for other Christians who are such an encouragement to us, such a blessing to us, do so much that we rely on and are helped by. We thank you for brothers and sisters in Christ who have come to know the Saviour. But we thank you even more for the Saviour himself, for Christ who is the head of the church, for Christ who has given gifts, for Christ who has given his word, for the word of the gospel, which encourages our hearts and without which we could not cope and face things. Help us to have the King at the centre in our lives personally. Help us to have the King at the centre of our life as a church. So bless us, Lord, as we go forward, as we think of your word. And we ask all these things through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.